then, but afterwards he got a great one and turned a persecutor. Now, after I had had some service in these parts, I went through Derbyshire into my own country, Leicestershire, again, and several tender people were convinced. Passing thence, I met with a great company of professors in Warwickshire, who were praying and expounding the scriptures in the fields. They gave the Bible to me, and I opened it on the 5th of Matthew, where Christ expounded the law. And I opened the inward state to them and the outward state, upon which they fell into a fierce contention, and so parted. But the Lord's power got ground. Then I heard of a great meeting to be at Leicester for a dispute, wherein Presbyterians, Independents, Baptists, and common prayer men were said to be all concerned. After common prayer men, footnote 37, that is, members of the English or Episcopal Church. The meeting was in a steeple house, and thither I was moved by the Lord God to go and be amongst them. I heard their discourse and reasonings, some being in pews, and the priest in the pulpit, abundance of people being gathered together. At last one woman asked a question out of Peter. What that birth was, viz., a being born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God, that liveth and abideth forever. And the priest said to her, I permit not a woman to speak in the church, though he had before given liberty for any to speak. Whereupon I was wrapped up, as in a rapture, in the Lord's power, and I stepped up and asked the priest, Dost thou call this, the steeple house, a church? Or dost thou call this mixed multitude a church? For the woman asking a question, he ought to have answered it, having given liberty for any to speak. But instead of answering me, he asked me what a church was. I told him the church was the pillar and ground of truth, made up of living stones, living members, a spiritual household, which Christ was the head of. But he was not the head of a mixed multitude, or of an old house made up of lime, stones, and wood. Footnote 38. The friends from the time of Fox until the present have been careful to use the word church only for the community of spiritual believers. The cathedrals and churches were called steeple houses, and their own places of worship were called meeting houses. This set them all on fire. The priest came down from his pulpit and others out of their pews, and the dispute there was marred. I went to a great inn and there disputed the thing with the priests and professors, who were all on fire. But I maintained the true church and the true head thereof over their heads till they all gave out and fled away. One man seemed loving and appeared for a while to join with me, but he soon turned against me and joined with the priest in pleading for infant baptism, though himself had been a Baptist before, so he left me alone. Howbeit, there were several convinced that day. The woman that asked the question was convinced, and her family, and the Lord's power and glory shone over all. After this, I returned into Nottinghamshire again and went into the Vale of Beaver. Footnote 39. A beautiful valley northwest of Nottingham, near the edge of the counties of Nottinghamshire and Leicestershire, just west of Bardon Hills. As I went, I preached repentance to the people. There were many convinced in the Vale of Beaver, in many towns, for I stayed some weeks among them. One morning as I was sitting by the fire, a great cloud came over me, and a temptation beset me, and I sat still. It was said, all things come by nature, and the elements and stars came over me, so that I was in a manner quite clouded with it. But as I sat still and said nothing, the people of the house perceived nothing. And as I sat still under it and let it alone, a living hope and a true voice arose in me, which said, there is a living God who made all things. Footnote 40. See Whittier's poem, Revelation. Immediately the cloud and temptation vanished away, and life rose over it all. My heart was glad, and I praised the living God. After some time, I met with some people who had a notion that there was no God, but that all things come by nature. I had a great dispute with them and overturned them and made some of them confess that there is a living God. Then I saw that it was good that I had gone through that exercise. Footnote 41. He means experience. We had great meetings in those parts, for the power of the Lord broke through in that side of the country. Returning into Nottinghamshire, I found there a company of shattered Baptists and others. The Lord's power wrought mightily and gathered many of them. Afterwards, I went to Mansfield and there away, where the Lord's power was wonderfully manifested both at Mansfield and other towns thereabouts. In Derbyshire, the mighty power of God wrought in a wonderful manner. At Eton, a town near Derby, there was a meeting of friends, where appeared such a mighty power of God that they were greatly shaken, and many mouths were opened in the power of the Lord God. After friends, footnote 42, there is no account of the origin of this meeting, which seems to have been in existence before Fox came to Eton. There seems to have been considerable definite work done, which is not detailed in the journal. See Epistles, Volume 1, page 2. Truth sprang up to us as to be a people of the Lord in Derbyshire in 1647. Eton is in Derbyshire. Many were moved by the Lord to go to steeple houses to the priests and people to declare the everlasting truth unto them. At a certain time when I was at Mansfield, there was a sitting of the justices about hiring of servants, and it was upon me from the Lord to go and speak to the justices, that they should not oppress the servants in their wages. So I walked toward the inn where they sat, but finding a company of fiddlers there, I did not go in, but thought to come in the morning, when I might have a more serious opportunity to discourse with them. But when I came in the morning, they were gone, and I was struck even blind that I could not see. I inquired of the innkeeper where the justices were to sit that day, and he told me, at a town 8 miles off. My sight began to come to me again, and I went and ran thitherward as fast as I could. When I was come to the house where they were, and many servants with them, I exhorted the justices not to oppress the servants in their wages, but to do that which was right and just to them. And I exhorted the servants to do their duties and serve honestly. Footnote 43. This is an interesting illustration of Fox's sensitiveness to wrong social conditions and of the practical character of his religion. They all received my exhortation kindly, for I was moved of the Lord therein. Moreover, I was moved to go to several courts and steeple houses at Mansfield and other places, to warn them to leave off oppression and oaths, and to turn from deceit to the Lord, and to do justly. Particularly at Mansfield, after I had been at a court there, I was moved to go and speak to one of the most wicked men in the country, one who was a common drunkard, a noted whoremaster and a rhyme maker, and I reproved him in the dread of the mighty God for his evil courses. When I had done speaking and left him, he came after me, and told me that he was so smitten when I spoke to him, that he had scarcely any strength left in him. So this man was convinced, and turned from his wickedness, and remained an honest, sober man to the astonishment of the people who had known him before. Thus the work of the Lord went forward, and many were turned from the darkness to the light. Within the compass of these 3 years, 1646, 1647, and 1648, diverse meetings of friends in several places were then gathered to God's teaching by His light, spirit, and power, for the Lord's power broke forth more and more wonderfully. Now I was come up in spirit through the flaming sword into the paradise of God. All things were new, and all the creation gave unto me another smell than before, beyond what words can utter. I knew nothing but pureness and innocency and righteousness, being renewed into the image of God by Jesus Christ. To the state of Adam, which he was in before he fell. The creation was opened to me, and it was showed me how all things had their names given them according to their nature and virtue. I was at a stand in my mind whether I should practice physic for the good of mankind, seeing the nature and virtues of things were so open to me by the Lord. But I was immediately taken up in spirit to see into another or more steadfast state than Adam's innocency, even into a state in Christ Jesus that should never fall. And the Lord showed me that such as were faithful to him in the power and light of Christ should come up into that state in which Adam was before he fell, in which the admirable works of the creation and the virtues thereof may be known through the openings of that divine word of wisdom and power by which they were made. Great things did the Lord lead me into, and wonderful depths were opened unto me, beyond what can be words be declared. But as people came into subjection to the Spirit of God, and grow up in the image and power of the Almighty, they may receive the word of wisdom that opens all things, and come to know the hidden unity in the eternal being. Footnote 44. This passage, which records a striking personal experience, is undated. It is strangely like an experience of the great German mystic Jacob Bohm, whose works were published in England about the time Fox was beginning his missionary labors. He, too, had all nature open to him, so that he says he saw the true significance and essence of things. See Jacob Bohm, Signatura Rerum, which was published in English in 1649. Muggleton, in his Looking Glass for G. Fox, 2nd edition, 1756, page 10, says that the writings of Bohm are the chief books bought by the followers of Fox. Thus I traveled on in the Lord's service as he led me. When I came to Nottingham, the mighty power of God was there among friends. Footnote 45. The name friends is apparently used as formerly in Chapter 1 to designate the gatherings of persons who sympathized with Fox's message and who afterwards were called friends. From thence I went to Clawson in Leicestershire in the Vale of Beaver, and the mighty power of God appeared there also in several towns and villages where friends were gathered. While I was there, the Lord opened to me three things relating to those three great professions in the world, law, physics, and divinity, so-called. He showed me that the physicians were out of the wisdom of God, by which the creatures were made, and knew not the virtues of the creatures, because they were out of the word of wisdom, by which they were made. He showed me that the priests were out of the truth faith, of which Christ is the author. The faith which purifies, gives victory, and brings people to have access to God, by which they please God, the mystery of which faith is held in a pure conscience. He showed me also that the lawyers were out of the equity, out of the true justice, and out of the law of God, which went over the first transgression and over all sin, and answered the Spirit of God that was grieved and transgressed in man, and that these three, the physicians, the priests, and the lawyers, ruled the world out of the wisdom, out of the faith, and out of the equity and law of God, one pretending the cure of the body, another the cure of the soul, and the third the protection of the property of the people. But I saw they were all out of the wisdom, out of the faith, out of the equity, and the perfect law of God. And as the Lord opened these things unto me, I felt that his power went forth over all, by which all might be reformed if they would receive and bow unto it. The priests might be reformed and brought into the true faith, which is the gift of God. The lawyers might be reformed and brought into the law of God, which answers that indwelling spirit of God, which is, in everyone is, transgressed into everyone, and which yet, if heeded, brings one to love his neighbor as himself. After indwelling spirit of God, there is this footnote. One could wish that this important account of Fox's practical mission to the world were more clearly expressed than is here done in his phraseology, which needs translation into modern terms. There is, he means to say, a universal divine principle or law of life which finds expression or voice in every soul. That of God in the individual answers or corresponds with the universal divine principle. But unfortunately, this divine light within is disobeyed, and thus men are astray out of their true life and function. Fox's mission is to call all such to obedience to that of God within them. This lets man see that if he wrongs his neighbor, he wrongs himself, and teaches him to do unto others as he would they should do unto him. The physicians might be reformed and brought into the wisdom of God, by which all things were made and created, that they might receive a right knowledge of the creatures and understand their virtues, which the word of wisdom, by which they were made and are upheld, hath given them. Abundance was open concerning these things, how all lay out of the wisdom of God and out of the righteousness and holiness that man at the first was made in. But as all believe in the light and walk in the light, that light with which Christ hath enlightened every man that cometh into the world, and become children of the light and of the day of Christ, all things visible and invisible are seen by the divine light of Christ, the spiritual heavenly man, by whom all things were created. Moreover, when I was brought up into his image in righteousness and holiness, and into the paradise of God, he let me see how Adam was made a living soul, and also the stature of Christ, the mystery that had been hid from ages and generations, which things are hard to be uttered and cannot be borne by many. For of all the sects in Christendom, so-called, that I discoursed with, I find none who could bear to be told that any should come to Adam's perfection. Into that image of God, that righteousness and holiness that Adam was in before he fell, to be clean and pure without sin as he was. Therefore, how shall they be able to bear being told that any shall grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, when they cannot bear to hear that any shall come was upon earth into the same power and spirit that the prophets and apostles were in? Though it be a certain truth that none can understand their writings aright without the same spirit by which they were written. Now the Lord God opened to me by his invisible power that every man was enlightened by the divine light of Christ, and I saw it shine through all, and that they that believed in it came out of condemnation to the light of life, and became the children of it. But they that hated it and did not believe in it were condemned by it, though they made a profession of Christ. After light of light is this 47th footnote. This is the central teaching of George Fox. Everything else comes out of this elemental truth. It is, as he says, clearly enough taught in the scriptures, but he now saw the truth as an immediate revelation, as a primary fact of experience. This I saw in the pure openings of the light without the help of any man. Neither did I then know where to find it in the scriptures, though afterwards, searching the scriptures, I found it. For I saw in that light and spirit which was before the scriptures were given forth, and which led the holy men of God to give them forth, that all, if they would know God or Christ or the scriptures aright, must come to that spirit by which they that gave them forth were led and taught. On a certain time as I was walking in the fields, the Lord said unto me, Thy name is written in the Lamb's book of life, which was before the foundation of the world. And as the Lord spoke it, I believed, and saw in it the new birth. Sometime after the Lord commanded me to go abroad into the world, which was like a briary, thorny wilderness. When I came to the Lord's mighty power with the word of life into the world swelled and made a noise like the great raging waves of the sea. Priests and professors, magistrates and people,